Don't forget our friend Demoris Smith will join us, former executive director of the NFLPA. He'll be in studio with us at 9 a.m., so you definitely don't want to miss that. It's time now to head to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to John Keim, of course, who covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Good morning, John.
What up, fellas?
How are you?
JK.
What were your top two or three takeaways from the Commanders' scrimmage with the Pats on Wednesday at Foxborough?
Let's see. Terry McLaurin would help.
Yeah.
But that's something we've seen throughout training camp. And listen, it's kind of obvious when you're missing your top receiver and then even, you know, another one in Noah Brown. Like, that would make a difference, and it does. And Zach Ertz can still play. Like, Jaden Daniels is still, you know, makes very good decisions and is accurate. Like, those things jumped out. Defensively, I thought they have had a really good summer. I think they will be an improved unit. I felt like at times it wasn't their best. And whether it's, like, you know, pass rush, at times maybe not quite as effective. Some of the coverage, I wouldn't call it breakdowns, but just, you know, not, you know, losing your guy a little bit. But I don't think that that's, I'm not like concerned about that after one joint session, because you don't know what guys, you don't know what they're trying to do. You don't know what they're trying to accomplish, what they're calling or why, et cetera. But, you know, so, and, you know, most of it though, to me, a lot of it is just individuals, right? That's kind of what I focus on in those things too, a lot.
So defensively, in particular, the secondary, that's, you know, they made a lot of changes in the offseason.
Right.
And then Lattimore, even though they acquired him last year, this is a big year. So do you think the secondary is going to be considerably better?
Yeah, I definitely do. And part of it, because, listen, Trey Amos is a good corner. Is going to be a good corner. And, you know, I know, like, a couple years ago, Emmanuel Forbes was here, and I think people wanted him to be a good corner, but you saw way more inconsistencies, and sometimes you might overlook some of those to see, like, okay, well, there he's around the ball, or this, you know. But with Amos, like, there's a consistency to his game. He will be – clearly he's going to give up a few catches, because they all do, but there is a patience and maturity to the way he plays and his ability to play press. So I think – like, they have more ability to play different coverage, like, with, you know, at times with, like, St. Juice and that group. Like, St. Juice was not I would not call him a confident corner. So you get into tight situations, and I think it results in penalties, big plays allowed, et cetera. I don't think, like, these guys are going to shrink from that moment at all. Like, that's not – it doesn't feel like it's in their DNA. The question will be, and I think Sam Russell inside will be very good. He's had a good summer. The other day, the Pats got him on a few crossers, but I'm not really worried about him because he showed what he could do. I think he's a good corner. The key will be Lattimore and what level he plays at, and if he's durable. And we were talking to him afterwards, and, you know, he's talked about the burst being back, et cetera, but what he's trying to get back to is consistent technique, and that's really footwork. And I don't think he's quite there yet with that. As he pointed out, he's missed a lot of time the last 3 years, and that impacts all of that. So can he get that back? But I do think that group gives you a better ability. And I think the safeties are smart. I think that helps too. But I think that group gives you the ability to play different style of coverages and allows you to play that Joe Witt wants to be press man. And it allows you to do different things with your pressures off of that.
John, I listen to a lot of your stuff. I take a lot of what you say, your observations, very seriously. And you know, I lock it in and I regurgitate a lot of it, to be honest with you. I try to credit you always, John. But one guy that I haven't heard a lot about, and I feel like in a lot of ways, defensively, they're kind of like building all around him, is Kinlaw, who I kind of characterized as, let's be honest, a bit of a career underachiever, and we're giving him a bunch of money. Maybe it's not that much relative to the position for other stars, but still, for a career underachiever, kind of building the defense around him, and I haven't heard much about him. Is that just they're just laying low and just haven't had a real opportunity for him to shine, or like what's going on with him?
So a couple of things. One, I don't think they're building the defense around him. He's not that level, right? Like that. I never have gotten that sense. I think what he does, you know, so there are a couple of things. Like the other day,
all I hear is he's big. That's all I ever hear.
He's definitely big, right? He's definitely big. So there are a couple of things. Like they are moving him around along the line. So, you know, there are times in there when they play their big three defensive tackle set, he might be as an end. Other times he's just strictly a tackle. I've seen him line up over the center a couple of times in the pass rush situations. So he's lined up all over the place. You see it at times. There are definitely times where, you know, in the past he's had a tendency to get too upright on some plays, especially when it ends. And I've seen that a little bit. That's something he's going to have to get out of. The salary thing, like he's 5.3 on the cap this year, and I think next year it's a little over 16. So this is a play it forward contract, right? Like they feel like he's just now ascending, and we'll see if they're right. And the reason why they say that goes back to he had dealt with a lot of injuries in San Francisco, and the last couple years he's been healthier, and so I think they feel like that will help in the off season too. Whether or not, you know, we'll see if they're accurate, right? We'll find out. But I can't say that, you know, I would say the defensive line, when you're looking at D-line, like Dorrance Armstrong is a guy that's jumped out in camp to me more because how they're using him and what he can do. And, you know, watching Von Miller, Luvu, guys like that. I think with Kinlaw is another piece to that puzzle. I wouldn't say anything about building it around him, though. I don't think he's to that level, but I think it's more just can you add that size inside, and what does that look like against the run? And then I think he has good quickness when he gets off the ball at times, and then sometimes you see it, it's like it's, you know, maybe you get caught in that stutter stepping a little bit too much, you know. So can you get him to be consistent? That will be a key for them up front. But
John, do people need to pump the brakes on Bill Krosky-Merritt, the seventh-round running back, or is he a true threat to carve out a decent-sized role when the regular season starts in, by the way, less than a month at this point?
Dude, I'm already wondering who's going to present him in Canton. What are you talking about? I think part of the thing is there's more intrigue with him and more mystery to him. And, you know, what – I think you see traits, but yeah, like let's see how it plays out. We haven't seen him get tackled yet. We haven't seen him try to avoid a tackle yet. We've seen, you know, like even in those joint sessions, you're not taking guys to the ground. So tonight will be the first time we get to see that. But I think like you see good traits, but what does that mean? I don't know yet. I'd say, you know, to this point, you see some good things, but this is a big step tonight and to what he can do. Can he make guys miss? Can he break tackles? You know, how does it look? And I think he'll be better than Lake Seastrunk, guys like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the things that I like about him, when you watch him on film, and again, the problem is he only played one game at Arizona, so we're extrapolating a lot here. And I think this is where the intrigue and the mystery is with him, is you don't know at a high level what he's going to look like. But you saw the violent runs, violent finishes, lowering his shoulder at the end, you know, quick, decisive cuts, good vision, all of that. But we don't know how it's going to translate to the NFL because we just haven't seen it. And when you're in practice, you know, you guys, like, you know, like you can be fooled by a lot of things by backs because they're not taking you to the ground. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there are times in the past where a guy might make a cut, like, oh, that's a good cut, and then you get in the game and he doesn't make the same cut, or he's getting drilled, or maybe he's making the guy miss. And so that's what we don't know. But there are definitely signs where you say, okay, definitely intriguing for sure.
All right, so let's talk about the Terry thing just for a second in this sense. I hear all of you guys that are there, Daly, JP, and Nikki, and you, and all you guys, that, you know, Zach Ertz is still Zach Ertz. You know, as you touched on earlier, Jaden looks like he's still Jaden and probably better grasp of everything and only going to get better. But that, you know, Debo, if he stays healthy, looks like he's still Debo, right, as long as he's healthy. But that on the whole, without Terry, and then you add insult to injury and even not have, like, a Noah Brown, that it's somewhat of an anemic passing game, right? I mean, those guys are good, the other guys, but they're not – there's no – big game threat.
They're not Terry. And that, like, if you took the top receiver off a lot of teams, it's going to make a difference. And that's just top one, but Noah Brown is one of their top three right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you take those two guys out and, you know, I would say Terry is going to be there this season, whether it's on an extension or playing out his mm-hmm. current deal. He played Noah Brown. We don't know because he has an injury history. He's coming back from the knee and he's, you know, you haven't seen a lot of him this summer. But I think what you also see are guys get elevated to different spots because of it, right? Like Luke McCaffrey working a lot more on the outside when he's probably better inside. Or, you know, I think a guy that to me that's intriguing to watch throughout the preseason, of course, is Jalen Lane. And he's got the speed, and can you use him in ways to accentuate that speed as he's learning mm-hmm. the NFL routes, right? And the, you know, running with the details of the NFL and the NFL. But he's one where it's like, okay, let's see, how do guys like Gallup and KJ Osborne, guys who could be at that back end of the receiver group, how do they look?
Nothing about Gallup. Like, he doesn't seem to be jumping out to anybody.
Early on, I felt he was, and then it's just kind of been quiet. Mm-hmm. But I think when you get those two guys in there, Brown and McLaurin, that there's better depth than there was a year ago. Because,
right.
You know, especially, you know, so I like.
Especially adding Debo.
Correct, exactly. And Debo is a better version of what they've had, right? And the thing, and this is like with Debo, even, there are definitely times where he gets the ball and the guy comes up. It's what I say, like, corner comes up and is like, oh, I'll just two hand tap you. I would have had you. And he's probably thinking, the hell you would have. I would have through that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
so I think there's things that he's going to show. But yeah, the rest of the group, I think there's still questions about him. But when the group is all together and, you know, if a guy like Chris Moore makes it, and I'm not sure, like, there's inconsistencies there, right? You know, when you're right now, he's playing in McLaurin's role. Well, that's not what he would do if he makes the roster. So, you know, but it's not, you're not seeing anybody else really jump out and say like, hey, you know, announcing their presence, so to speak. But I think the one that I'm more intrigued by is Jalen Lane, just because of speed and, you know, the ability on punt returns, but that speed is something you want to tap into.
John, with most, if not all, of the starters sidelined tonight for the Pats preseason opener against the Commanders, tonight would have been a great spot for Jordan McGee to kind of showcase
right.
himself.
Right.
But he didn't make the trip. He was sparsely used as a rookie because of injuries, had a hard time getting on the field. Same thing is kind of happening now. What's the latest on him? I know the injury is undisclosed unless something's happened
right.
recent. Like, what's his prognosis as far as making the roster and getting back out on the field?
Yeah, he'll be on the roster. You know, even Dan Quinn said there's nobody has anything serious. So I don't think this is anything that's going to keep him out a while, but I still think he's got a spot because you don't have anybody who really can do what he's doing. He just has to stay healthy. But when he does, like, they'll use him when they go to three linebacker sets. Now, it depends on the packs. Like, if you're facing heavy personnel and you want three linebacker sets, he'll be on the field. And, you know, I think, you know, when he's out there, he looks solid, right? He looks like he'd be able to develop and help. And then special teams. So I still think he'll be out there because, again, he's the guy that if something happened to Bobby Wagner right now would go in. I think he's the guy that would eventually be the replacement down the road, right?
Yeah.
But he's got, you know, you want to see him stay healthy because I think they, like last year, they said they had him in a couple packages. They were excited about him, and then he had a couple of injuries. So that's the only question with him. But I don't believe it's anything serious.
Do you think any starters will play tonight? Maybe a few?
Maybe a couple. The other day it was, like, obviously very unlikely to play. But you may have some, like, if you want to get – and I would not consider Josh Connell yet a starter because
right
now, you know, when the starters are – when all the line is there, aside from Cosme, Andrew Wiley's typically been going in at right tackle. But Connolly eventually will be a guy that would play, but you want to see him play more. So, you know, I don't, not yet a starter, but a guy who would play a key role at some point. And so maybe guys like that where you don't have as much experience, I don't know that they would play a Trey Amos. I think he's looked really good, and he covered Stephon Diggs a few times the other day. Did a nice job. I don't know that you're going to really – they know what they have in him. They're very well aware.
Right.
So, I think, you know, if any of those starters play, it would be, you know, just because you wanted more reps. And I don't know who else that would be, because most of the starters are experienced guys.
Gotcha.
John, thanks for the time as always. Enjoy the weekend and have fun watching preseason game number one. It's just about 12 hours
away. We'll talk to you next week, JK.
Thanks, John. All right, guys.
All right, thanks, John. Appreciate it.
It's John Keim, who covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. When we come back, we will take your calls at 800-636-1067. What are you looking for tonight as the Commanders take the field for the first time in the preseason against the Patriots? It sounds like most of the starters will not play, so you won't see Jaden Daniels. You're not going to see Brian Robinson. You're not going to see Laremy Tunsil. But you're probably going to see Bill Crosky-Barrett at running back. You're probably going to see, as John touched on, Josh Connerly on the offensive line. What are you specifically looking for the first preseason game? We'll take your calls on that next here on The Fan. Training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. We're ready to take your calls at 800-636-1067. Are you pumped for Pats Commanders 7:30 kick tonight, first game of the preseason? And look, it's a little bit muted because you know that starters aren't playing. You're not going to see Jaden Daniels in action.
Well, the studs aren't playing.
You're not going to see Deebo Samuel. You're not going to see Laremy Tunsil, but you're going to see guys battling for roster spots. You're going to see late-round guys trying to make an impact, like Bill Crosky-Merritt at running back. You're going to probably see Josh Connerly in action because he's not slated right now as a starter on the offensive line.
Yeah, but he's probably not
going
to play a ton.
Probably won't play a lot.
We won't play
so
a ton.
I'd get there nice and early if you want to see some Connerly reps.
But mm-hmm. I think you want to see Bill, as you say.
Definitely.
I think you want to see Ja'Cory Brooks.
I want to see Jalen Lane.
You want to see Jalen?
You want to see Jalen Lane? He may not even play that much because he's going to be a key guy.
I want to see Luke McCaffrey.
Right.
You'll see him, but probably not a ton.
Probably not.
I think you want to see Ben Sinnott. You want to see, okay, let me just see what the skill set here that we're working with, who's been just kind of in hiding here. And I don't think this is going to be a big year for Sinnott because I think Ertz, by all accounts, looks like he's just picking up where he left off last year. But we want to make sure that we're on the right track with him, grooming him for the future. What else? Oh, want to see? Will we see Trey Amos at all?
Maybe.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe a series or two.
I think he'd be used very sparingly because, from what John said, it sounds like they know what they have.
They know what they got.
And from the sound of it, it sounds like he's going to be starting opposite Lattimore.
Right.
On the outside, week one.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you risk that guy in one of your three preseason games. I'm going to guess you don't see him.
You might be right.
That's just a guess.
You might be right.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see how many. It'll be a series or two. But
it'll be interesting to see how many of the starters play, you know, even if it's going to be a series or two. But you do want to see the younger guys. I'd like to see the rookies, at least for a quarter.
Yeah. But the one that everyone's talking about is Crosky-Merritt, is Bill. And I feel like I'm getting
way over my skis on him to the point where I feel like, now this is just me spitballing. Like, if I'm Adam Peters and I see a lot out of Bill in the preseason games, I might call around some teams that need running back help and shop Brian Robinson Jr. Like, if he's good enough where I think I can give him 12 to 15 carries per game in the regular season, which, okay, I know is a stretch. He was a seventh-round pick.
Yeah.
But I feel like his value was impacted by the fact that he only played one game in his last year of college eligibility. I felt like if he played that whole season, he's probably a third or fourth-round pick.
Could be.
But he falls all the way to the seventh round. He probably shouldn't have. I don't know. I just feel like he's going to have a real role come week one. And I don't even mean like 2 to 4 carries, like spelling the starters.
You might be buying into the hype.
I might be buying into the Bill hype.
Here's the problem with doing that. I wouldn't get rid of B-Rob because RBs get banged up. You need that depth at that position.
True, but I feel like...
And even if Bill is getting a lot more carries, you'd still... I mean, if he goes down, who are you going to go to? McNichols?
Eckler gets a bigger role. But again, you want to keep Eckler in a role where he has 10 to 12 touches per game.
Yeah, I think you got to keep B-Rob just because he's one of those grinders that if someone goes down, he's going to be
just don't feel like he's anything special, and I don't.
He's not.
And
I'm not saying special.
I don't think the front office loves him.
I'm not saying he's special, but I just think you need to keep him, even if Bill plays.
He's just
well.
A proven commodity. He's a proven commodity. If he's healthy, generally.
He's a proven solid RB, is what he is.
His yards per carry are a little bit higher than what you would imagine. In fact, what's interesting about Bill is, where did he play his first 4 years? Alabama State or something like that?
Alabama State. He played a lot
at
Alabama State.
Then he went to New
Mexico.
I can't verify this, but I thought I heard, let me see, that at Alabama State, he only averaged 3.5 yards per carry. Is that true?
I'd have to look up his college stats. I don't know.
I would have to look. I could look him up real quick.
I'm looking it up right now. If that's true, it's wild that he's just like really accelerated after. So they only have New Mexico and Arizona, the one game. They don't have the Alabama State stats here if you go to College Football Reference.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So dumb.
I mean, his yards per attempt, this is a limited sample size. At New Mexico, he averaged 6.3 yards per attempt.
Right, totally different.
And at Arizona, now is one game, 8.2.
Right.
I can't take that seriously. That's way high.
So he averaged 3.7 yards per attempt at Alabama State through three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have the 23.
He was 2.6 as a freshman, 3.8, 3.6, 3.9. Now,
right.
Who knows? I mean, he didn't get a ton of carries early in his college career. Not until his junior and senior year was he carrying the ball a little bit more. He only had 400.
So it's wild that
yards.
All of a sudden he just kind of blossomed.
And then all of a sudden in Mexico he had 1,200 yards. And he carried the ball 6.5 yards per carry.
Maybe he just had a better line in front of him and he was able to kind of exploit it.
Maybe.
It'd show off.
I mean, it's only New Mexico.
But it's interesting that, you know, through the early part of his college career, you're not thinking this is a guy that's going to play in the NFL.
No.
And then all of a sudden, he transfers a couple times.
But Cakes might be right. I mean, if he does play, you know, 10 to 12 games at Arizona last year, and he has 1,000 yards and scores 10 to 12 to 15 touchdowns, maybe he is a third-round pick. Maybe.
I think you're right. I think he definitely would have been selected higher.
Could be kind of our hidden gem.
It definitely would be selected higher. But he's definitely the guy everybody's talking about. Who are you looking to see? Are you interested in the quarterback battle? I listened to Nikki Jabala this morning on Kimes Pod, and she says Josh Johnson. Now, you see differing reports. She says, in her opinion, Josh Johnson's way ahead of Sam Hartman. It's not even close.
Yeah.
She said, it should be because he's been a 15-year veteran.
Yeah, it's not surprising. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
But that's
third-string quarterback. To me, that's way down. Now, it's always good to see who's going to be on the roster.
I'm just trying to have a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's impactful, but she's saying he's way ahead of Hartman.
Right. Well, I would expect that.
So do you expect Hartman to then be cut and put on a practice squad?
I mean,
probably what it looks like.
Most likely.
It's probably what it looks like.
I also think that if you're ever considering playing Sam Hartman, starting him in an NFL game, then your team's in shambles.
Yeah.
I think also, if it comes down to that, then you're in real trouble.
I think you're in real trouble if you start Josh Johnson.
I think you're in trouble if you start either of them. If anybody starts their third string quarterback, you're in deep S. It's not going to be good for your team.
Well, even if you're starting your second string quarterback, your backup.
Generally, it's not great.
Yeah, it's not great.
Some are better than others, obviously. Mariota didn't make the trip, so this gives, I believe Hartman's been tabbed the starter for tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think he might have the most to prove.
Right? It's a great opportunity for him.
Got 15 years of preseason film and some scattered regular season games with Josh Johnson.
So Hartman plays first half, JJ plays second half?
Maybe.
I'm going to guess Sam Hartman's biggest impact is going to be that he's dreamy. I just don't know that he's going to have much of an impact on the NFL level. But we'll see.
I'm not suggesting he will. We're just talking about guys that are going to fill out the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying he ever throws an NFL pass.
I'm just glad that the preseason's finally here.
And also last night it shows you why a guy like Dan Quinn doesn't want to expose his starters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Anthony Richardson gets knocked out of the game and his pinky is pointing the wrong way.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the game for very long. Like, you know, one of the Ravens corners goes out with an ACL tear, done for the year. Slater in practice.
Football,
blows
man.
Up his knee.
Yeah, you're going to have injuries.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
They were certainly very fortunate last year. They didn't have a lot of major injuries.
Right.
But could be totally different. You got to have that depth. Come on, people. 800-636-1067. What do you want to see tonight? Preseason opener.
I had somebody tell me the other day, they were like, who do you think's going to win? You know?
Win? The game?
And I was just attacked.
Did you laugh in their face?
No, but I was just like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And they were like, what do you mean it doesn't matter? Aren't you a competitor? Aren't they competitors? And I go, yeah, it doesn't matter, but they're not the starters. They're not game planning. Mm-hmm. It literally means nothing. She goes, that's stupid. right. They're competitors. They want to win, and you want your team to win. And I go, yeah, but I'm telling you, they don't look at it that way.
No.
I don't even think people will look at the score.
By far the most important thing is not getting any of your starters injured, just getting through the game. And you just hope to see some flashes from your second and third stringers that help you make the roster decisions that you know you need to make
right
in the next few weeks. Nobody cares about score.
If you are looking at the numbers and scores and looking at outright winners, the Commanders are catching 6.5 tonight. They're plus 240 on the money line.
So
if you're looking at them for a possible outright win, you're getting about 2.5 to 1 on your money.
This just shows you how meaningless the preseason is as far as like scores and outcomes. In the three games tonight, the Commanders-Patriots game has the highest total of the three games, 35.5. Yeah. The other two games, the Lions-Falcons game and the Browns-Panthers game, both set at 32.5.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't see totals like that, ever in the regular season.
I will say, I was kind of trying to get at it with John, but it's been a little bit distressing, even knowing, okay, Terry's not there. Noah Brown's been there some, but he's not there currently right this moment. That the offense is just not looking dynamic without those guys. It's just like the defense has clearly gotten the better of them through camp, and apparently that's fairly standard. But I'm kind of assuming this offense is going to pick up where they left off last year. I'm assuming that we're going to score 28 to 30 points like
routinely,
every week.
Yeah.
That's what we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
We averaged over 28 points a game. I'm just taking it as a given that we're going to continue that. And that might just be a horrific overcalculation.
I mean, they are playing some better teams on the schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that 26 to 27 points should be the floor. I kind of agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, they should be
as good or better. So are you a little bit distressed by the early reports that, like, they do the scrimmage against New England, and everybody's like, basically, the offense looks anemic.
No.
The Jaden is great, but that these little dump offs to Zekerts and to Austin Eckler, that ain't scaring anybody.
It's all a controlled scrimmage. This is not what the actual offense is going to look like. And hello, Terry McLaurin is going to be there week one. He's going to be there for the game against the Giants.
Yeah.
Now, is he going to come out of the gates hot if he's missed a big chunk of training camp? I don't know. It probably can't be great for him in the offense if he hasn't been there through the preseason and the preseason games, but he's going to be there. The offense is going to pretty much look like last year, and I think it'll be enhanced by having Debo there and Austin Eckler healthy.
All three games last night in the preseason all went over the total.
Oh, they did, okay.
So if you're looking at those numbers.
Were they over 35 points?
All of them were over.
They weren't.
You mean what were the totals were set at?
I don't care what they were set at. I'm just saying.
Colts, Ravens, 40 points. Bengals, Eagles, 61 points. Raiders, Seahawks, 46 points.
Right. So it might be a
So you might see some scoring tonight.
You might want to go over then today.
You might see some.
Maybe pick one of them for the parlay coming up.
All right, let's go to Angry Dennis. Angry Dennis, what's up?
I'm not angry this morning.
You can't be. It's a Friday. You can't be angry today.
No, I'm angry today about how I did on the water yesterday. But, as far as this game goes tonight, guys, I want to see, you know, we're not going to see any of our starters, but I want to see our new running back, Jakorski, whatever his last name
Bill.
Is.
Just call him Bill.
His name's
Bill.
A mouthful.
Okay, Bill. We're calling Bill. I want to see Bill get through the game and do well and also not get hurt. The defense, I want to see our defense step up and do well. Some of the guys that we got, like, you know, I'd like to see some of the new players that we have this year play on defense, though. But after hearing about some of the injuries yesterday, I don't know. It is sketchy. I have really never liked preseason a lot. I like seeing my team get out there because it's been so long since we've seen them play. But the injuries I cannot stand injuries in preseason.
You're scared. So. We get it. We understand. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate
you, buddy.
Yeah, y'all have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
Everybody's terrified of a starter going down, like rupturing an Achilles.
Well,
or
that's why they don't
blowing
play.
Out a knee. Yeah.
That's why they largely don't play.
Right.
But you'll probably see, like, I gotta imagine you'll probably see like a Wiley or Allegretti or somebody like that.
Right.
Because they don't have Cosme, they don't have Coleman.
Right.
You know, I mean, some of these guys are going to have to play. There are going to be a couple guys that are going to have to play.
Get ready to see a lot of Lucas Niang on the offensive line, a recent pickup. You're going to see guys like that going through the paces and trying to, you know, make the team, make the final 53. Right.
Or a Timothy McKay.
Mm-hmm. You're going to see him tonight.
Or a Tyree Phillips. You're going to see a lot of these
guys. All right, don't forget, later in the show, Damaris Smith, former executive director of the NFLPA.
He's got a new walk-up song.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
All right, so he's going
to
join us coming up at 9 o'clock. And when we come back, we'll give you our Junkies Weekend Parlay.
All right, guys, summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, 0 bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes, sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
All right, we're going to put our heads together and try to come up with a winning Junks Weekend Parlay. It's 3 Junks, 3 guys behind the glass. We're going to see if we can make it work. Try to make $10 into a lot more than $10. We'll give you an exact number once we get all the picks in. All right, who's going to lead off?
All right, you want to go behind the glass?
I'll start.
Right. Grab a T-shirt. Grab
I'll get
the
us
reins.
Going here. All right. It's the end. We're getting close to football season, getting close to the touchdown parlay. So we'll get off baseball soon. But there is an intriguing game tonight. We're going to go all the way to the bottom of the schedule.
Okay.
Blue Jays Dodgers.
Yeah.
On the mound tonight, Max Scherzer versus Clayton Kershaw. Oh.
Combined age, what, about 80?
It's got to be.
One?
at least. I mean, this is a 2014 epic showdown here. Let's go with Max over 5.5 strikeouts. The Dodgers do strike out a lot, even Ohtani. It's plus 100. He had 11 strikeouts on July 27th.
Yeah.
He had 5 last time out. He's going to throw 90-something pitches. I think we can get over 5.5 strikeouts for Max Scherzer tonight for the Blue Jays.
Why am I seeing it in alt strikeouts and it's listed as minus 260.
Click on
plus.
Popular and then player strikeouts.
Popular. Okay. There we go.
Max Scherzer.
Player strikeouts.
Two and one.
So you're going over 5.5?
Yep.
All right. You're in. You got it.
Yeah. Both Scherzer and Kershaw combined are 7-3. ERA probably around 4. So those old guys are still kind of getting it done. All right. You want to stay behind the glass?
Sure. Let's do it.
Who's up?
I'll take it.
All right.
So it's slow time of the year for sports, but I found the diamond in the rough. The Washington Commanders, they're not the only local team playing in Massachusetts this weekend. Maryland Whipsnakes are taking on the Boston
nice.
Cannons.
Got a PLL play. I like it.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on ESPN+. Plus. Give me the Whipsnakes money line plus 100. When they played earlier in the summer, it was a great game. Boston won 13-12. But, you know, the Whipsnakes, they're kind of slacking this year. They're 3-6, last in their conference. And, you know, us being minority owners, that's not good representation. They got to get it together, and it all starts tomorrow in Boston.
Very good.
In Boston.
Love that bit. I'll never stop doing that bit.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go back to baseball tonight. All right. I can't really see me doing any bets on preseason football.
Oh, I can see me doing it.
Maybe you can, but the Detroit Tigers tonight are hosting the Los Angeles Angels. All right, this game's at 7:10, Comerica Park in Detroit. Tarik Skubal is a huge favorite tonight. Stud pitcher for the Tigers. He's 11-3. ERA is 2.8. 2.18. He currently is third in the league in strikeouts behind Garrett Crochet and Zach Wheeler. He's got 181 strikeouts, just two behind Crochet. He and Crochet are probably battling for the Cy Young. I think Scooble's going to win it. And Scooble's averaging almost 11.5 strikeouts per nine innings. Okay. Tonight, he's facing the Angels. What team leads the league in strikeouts? That would be the Los Angeles Angels.
Like it.
Scooble is going to probably, he's probably going to get to double-digit strikeouts, but I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to go over 8.5 strikeouts for Tarik Scooble tonight at home against the Angels.
All right.
I think it's about even money.
A lot of strikeouts on the board in this parlay so far.
All right. You want me to get in there?
Yeah.
All right. You know, I was thinking about maybe doing one of the totals for one of the preseason games, maybe even the Commanders game. But, you know, who knows? They may not score a lot of points. But, Drabby, I mean, can I do this? You could. I want to do two or more rushing touchdowns in the game tonight.
For the game?
With the, you know, I don't think there's good. They're not going to light the world on fire through the air, right? Our receiving targets, our top guys aren't even there. But we do have some guys that have some experience. Jerry McNichols, Chris Rodriguez. Of course, everybody wants to see Bill, Kroski Merritt. You got Kaz Allen. We've got some guys in there that I think that could get in the end zone. So I'm going to take, the Commanders to score two or more rushing touchdowns tonight. I think it's plus 280.
I have no idea where to find that.
Nice
bet.
Number.
Just on more
click
wagers.
On team props, and then you scroll down. It works.
Yeah. Plus 280, two or more rushing touchdowns.
All right,
the
there
game's going to be, you know, like no one's going to be paying attention in the third and fourth quarter.
Right.
And some of these guys like a C-Rod or a McNichols are going to score a touchdown, and we're going to get there.
Okay. You're in. Plus 280. It's the biggest plus number
or
so
Bill,
far on the board.
Maybe Bill gets in
Bill
there.
Bill might
maybe
get it. You could. Like it? I kind of like it, to be honest with you.
I love it. Yeah, let's go.
I like it.
All right, Cakes. What do you got something in the preseason?
Even though all of the preseason games last night went over, and at least one went over by a lot, I hate unders, but I'm taking the under in the Panthers-Browns tilt. And it's only 32.5, but right. Hear me out. Is Shedeur Sanders going to light it up in the spotlight?
He might. I
mean, is Jack Plummer going to do work for the Carolina Panthers? Because you know you're not going to see Bryce Young. You're probably not going to see much of Andy Dalton, who's the backup. You're probably going to see a third stringer. By my math, they would need four touchdowns and two field goals to go over this number, and I just don't see that happening in this preseason game. Under 32.5 points. Oh, it sounds gross to say. That's at minus 105. It's in. It's on the board.
Looking for an under.
I don't love it. I don't love it, but I just... I mean, you never bet under. I could see that being like a 14-10 final. Just big old snore fest.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm banking on.
All right. So give us the
prop. You can't forget Ben.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to go back to the baseball diamond, I guess.
Benjamin. What's up?
You're good. And if you missed the series between the Nationals and the cityless Athletics now.
Vagabonds.
I don't blame you. I really can't blame you for not wanting to watch Nationals baseball right now, but you did miss out on one thing, and that's Shea Langeliers. Dude is a superstar. 3-homer game, nearly 4. Had 5 hits in that game. If you need some confidence, play against the Washington Nationals, and then he's going to Baltimore, another terrible team. Langeliers, 2 hits tonight.
Ooh, 2+ hits. All right. He is at plus 155 for that.
Is he still leading off? I know he's.
I'd assume.
Yep.
All right. Here's your six leg parlay.
Recap.
Got under 32.5 in Browns Panthers. You got the Whips on the money line against the Boston Cannons. Max Scherzer and his old, probably close to dead arm, over 5.5 strikeouts. Tarik Skubal over 8.5 strikeouts. The Commanders need 2 rushing touchdowns and Shea Langeliers to record 2+ hits. A $10 wager wins us $1,422.41. Doesn't look happy. Drab,
you wanted it to be
putting like $250 in your pocket?
I mean, barely pays the cable bill.
I mean,
I'll take it.
We'll take it. This one actually, I feel like, has a little bit of a chance to win. But we might hit this one.
You say that every week.
I do say that every week.
I actually think we're going to hit. I'm confident I'm going to hit mine.
I'm confident we're going to hit the the touchdown parlay once the NFL season starts. But that doesn't happen for another month.
You can buy a lot of smelling salts with that $1,000.
Oh, yeah, you could. You could buy, like, big Amazon boxes filled with them.
Is there still any juice left in the bottle?
Yeah. Well, really? Right before 8 o'clock during this break.
Yeah,
let's pass this around.
All right,
we set the tone a little bit.
All right.
So go place that bet or fade it. Do that at your peril. Don't forget, Demoris Smith is going to join us in studio in just about an hour. He'll be promoting his new book, Turf Wars. So Demoris Smith joins us at 9 a.m. here on the Junks.